Hello.
Morning.
Good morning. It's
Howdy.
morning, right?
Well, depending on where you are.
All of us, it's morning. Or close to it.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
I want to apologize. I know that my audio is not great. My headphones broke, and the replacement ones, turns out, had the wrong jack. So, if at any point you need me to like repeat myself or speak a little slower or something, let me know.
Sounds pretty good right now.
Does it? Oh, gosh. Well, I moved the laptop closer to me. I got some feedback yesterday that people could not understand me.
No,
Um,
you sound fine, although your camera is not working.
oh. How funny.
You go. Hi.
Good morning.
Morning.
Okay, I think that was a pretty good soft open to the meeting. We've got a lot to cover today. So, Alexis, I believe you're taking notes. Are you still good with that?
Yep, I'm good.
Okay, great. I'm gonna go ahead and pull up the agenda. I'm so used to taking notes while leading meetings that I get a little like, I don't know what to do with my hands. Do I show the screen? It's helpful for me sometimes to see the agenda. So let's look at the screen for now. So I want to start out with welcome and announcements. Before we get into the WolfCon submission deadline, are there any other announcements or news this week?
Good
Let's
see.
see.
Were we expecting liaison updates this week?
Don't think that is on the agenda for this
Okay.
week. I can't recall if we decided to do that on a rolling basis.
I think the lia for TC and P TC and CC and RM I'm still on the fence with RMS whether it should be handled as a subgroup or not, but for those two at least, I think I don't think that we made a decision to do those on a rolling basis.
Okay. So we need to, should we add that as a standing action item on the agenda template, or should we just wait and getting into housekeeping?
I think we should have it. I guess the did you create this agenda from the template?
I did.
Okay, so that's yeah, that's the difference. I always just copy one of the previous ones and start ed editing it up. But
Okay.
yeah, for my part at least, I think it would be good for it to be on in the template.
Okay. I'll take the action item to update the template based on the last meeting that we have. And I'm sorry, guys. We do have a little bit of room. Let's just quickly, so no other announcements.
Calming week next week.
Yes, thank you. Hope everyone enjoys their calm. We do have the WolfCon submission deadline coming up. Is that 2 weeks from now?
So the deadline is March
March.
25th. So
Oh,
it's
and then
in a couple weeks. Yeah. Currently, we have a bit more than eight proposals. I think it's 11. I will be presenting some slides, and I'll just share them here as well. Kind of where we are with WolfCon and others, other information of what we've done. If you want to peruse that on your own time. So currently the planning team is, well, accepting submissions, but we're also preparing sponsors, as well as, finalizing the reception, and all of that. And then we also will be creating portals, both for attendees and the speakers via FeedLoop. So we're really excited about that. So we can have our introduction information session for speakers again this year, as well as an entire page offering, tips and tricks and guidance.
excellent. Maybe you want to drop that link in the chat? Maybe you already did.
I did, and I added it to the agenda. So if you update the agenda, it'll probably show.
Great, thank you. I know that there have been some discussions among the subgroups about potential sessions that we'd like to do. Jeremy, what would you think about getting that on the agenda for our next meeting, which would be in 2 weeks?
I think that's a great idea, and I think the fact that all of or not all, maybe not all, but most of the subgroups that we have going want to do WolfCon presentations means that the PC will be well represented at WolfCon. But I suppose one of the reasons why I thought it might be good to just bring it up in general is if there's any non-subgroup related presentations that PC members want to be involved in. Just a reminder that we only have a few weeks to get our proposals together.
Great. I'm gonna pencil that in for March 5th. Just kind of talk about all right. Since I omitted it from the agenda, do we want to briefly hear from the liaisons? Is there any updates?
From TC mainly, the review, the pilot for reviewing existing modules is moving along, and they're, I believe the two reviews are complete, and they're looking at how to figure out how to move forward or what's a sustainable way to move forward. Related to that, there's like in noting that we're reviewing our review process in the next meeting. There was a call, I think, from Maccabee to just reclarify that the PC is approving functionality and the TC is approving technical implementation, and that the TC is dependent on PC, and their communication needs to be clear.
Great.
And
That's a great tee up for what we're going to talk about later.
yep. And what's the other thing? Oh yeah, they're surveying developers about what they would like in a potential developer conference. So that's also moving. That's kind of preparatory work is moving. Here
Okay,
ends the
excellent.
update.
Thank you. Jeremy?
Just a quick question, Todd. Was Maccabees a request for clarification whether or not the PC was going to continue to review functionality, or whether or not we were going to bleed over into a reviewing technical like non-functional?
I would have to go back and, like, for that level of
Okay.
answer, I'd have to go back and pick apart the video. I think part of it is sequencing and, like, is it reasonable to, just the whole communication and coordination.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, great. Any other liaison updates? If there are no updates, it's okay to skip it.
Yeah, there's no, the CC did not meet. They meet on Monday.
Excellent. All right, Autumn, talk to us about release management and communication.
She actually posted in Slack that she wasn't able to make it today with
Oh
the weather.
no. Great. I'm sorry I missed that. So we can pick that up.
I can provide an update for her. So Alexei wasn't able to come to our meeting. He will come next time. But we are working on a draft newsletter post. And so may I don't know if we'll share that with PC. It's going to RMS first, and then we'll probably share it with PC. And we're also working on release notes that we'll probably share with PC as well. And that's about it, as I re if I remember correctly.
Great. I mean, that sounds like great progress. Thanks. All right, excellent. Let's move on to Alvaro to talk about data import for Linked Data Editor, and I'll stop sharing. Thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you for receiving me. Okay. Should I start then?
Yeah, you can go ahead and yep.
Yeah, well, yeah, we need a approval for a new module and that is needed for performing link data import. I have a presentation for this. So I'm gonna share it with you. There we go. So can you see it?
Yes, it just came out. Thank you.
Okay, awesome. So, my name is Alvaro Lopez, and I'm the product owner of the Linked Data Editor. And I'm gonna tell you about this new module. Turns out that there's some challenges that we bumped into. First, we needed to have data import capabilities, have a complete workflow for the linked data editor in Folio. But and the current data import app, it doesn't support RDF files. And the idea here was to have a bulk data import. So in order to make it make the current data import app compatible with RDF, We found out that it could need like a full refactoring of the whole app. So we came up with the solution of creating a new module for this, an independent RDF compatible data import module. So there's this feature that's the 4600 UX prod, but it was already approved by the technical console, and it's expected to be part of the Trillium release. The module is able to ingest hundreds of thousands RDF instances through a JSON RDF file. It won't be available to regular users because the amount of instances that it can import, it can make important damage to a catalog. So it will be available to sysadmins through permissions, and it will be through API. So the way this works is uploading a JSON LD file to an S3 bucket, and then with an API call, the module ingests the instances and then fits them to the linked data module. So it's like this. This is the workflow. So you need to upload this file to S3, then you make the API call. With this, the module transforms this file to the internal build format. Then it sends a Kafka message to link data, and it starts to add it to the graph. Then at the same time, the link data module derives MARC records that are sent to inventory, which sends this MARC to SRS. So the whole folio is updated. So the main module that is affected is inventory. This is more or less the way it works. Then, what we have in scope for the development is importing works instances and hubs. And currently, we are perfecting some details about hubs import. And in the future development, will be authorities and ITSM and holdings, because the roadmap for the linked data editor involves having authority edit capabilities. So when that's ready, we will add also to import this authority capability. And well, this is the actual workflow. First, you upload the file to S3. Have a typo there. So in this case, it's a 7,010 JSON file. Then you configure the API. Then after you make this API call, you can get the job number. And with that, you can run a five lines API call. In this case, there weren't any failed lines, but it tells you like this and these lines are failed, and it tells you the reason it failed. So you can also run different calls, like for instance to get the status of the import and stuff like that. And well, since this was imported flawlessly according to the API, we need to check how it went. So this is a file, 7,010, and we see here that the main title is "The Earth as Modified by Human Action." And we see here that it appears in the link data editor. We see that it has two instances, so it can deal with that. Also, this is visible in the main search of link data. And it also can be seen as a MARC rendering. Plus, it can be seen also in inventory. So it fulfills the whole workflow. So, well, I think that's the whole presentation. Personally, I think it's quite important, this module, because it will allow to fit the catalog, the libraries with big amount of RDF resources. And it will be possible to also add authorities, like a bulk add of authorities. Well, that's it. Thank you very much. I don't know if you got questions.
Got some questions in the chat about the build format, or
Uh-huh.
to Gloria's point, it's a vocabulary, but I think people are confused
Oh,
about
it's a
what.
vocabulary. That was a mistake on my part. It's a vocabulary. It's not a format. The format is a JSON file in formatted as BFrame 2 BFrame 2 vocabulary when it enters, and then it's translated to build the build vocabulary. No, it's not a format. That was a mistake on my side.
I guess maybe the question behind the question is why that's necessary.
Yeah, so the build vocabulary is what we use inside of Folio, and that helps us accommodate multiple linked data vocabularies, so BibFrame, but also any other vocabulary that people would want to import in the future.
I think that
Yeah,
that's
because
helpful.
we aim to support not only BibFrame but more vocabulary. So the editor and the linked data capabilities in Folio are wide and flexible.
Thank you. I think Jeremy's up next.
Thanks for the presentation, and it's really cool to see functionality around linked data and in Folio. I think that's really neat. So just to be clear, this is an API only implementation. Do y'all have any plans to build a user interface?
Yeah, but that's very small level, maybe some Edge API thing, but we don't plan on bringing this to the regular user, like a cataloger or so. No, that it will always be used by a system admin, because we don't want like any cataloger to upload 500,000 records and blow up a catalog. But
So the,
yeah.
well, I was just going to say that the current data import allows for the import of thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of records. And I mean, I guess couldn't you limit a accessibility to a user interface through permissions?
Yeah, we could. Maybe we can take that approach. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
This is more for the PC more broadly. Just a question of is would this be the first time that we have reviewed a non-graphical application?
I don't believe this is the first time that we've seen a like back-end functionality
Okay.
before any front-end functionality.
Okay.
Alexis?
I was just going to ask if Alvaro could share the slides so I could put them in the notes.
Sorry.
Can you share a link to the slides so I can put them in the notes?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay, thank you. You can put them in the chat.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, no. I will do that.
Thank
Give me a
you.
second.
Martin.
Yeah, so I wanted to mention that we had last week or the week before, we had the presentation of the inventory update module, which I think till now was also without user interface, but was accepted by the PC, if I remember correctly. So that would be one case where we also that we had before, maybe. And then one question to you, Alvaro. I think on slide 3 or so, where you had this diagram with all the steps. I'm not sure. Did you mention how updating linked data records work? I mean, do you only import new data, or is it for updating
No,
existing also existing
existing too.
instances also?
I have an extra slide here. I didn't put in the main presentation because I was thinking that this might pop up. We have an overlap policies. So, if the imported resource have, we have a fingerprint fields list. So if the values are the same, the resource is updated. Like if
So
the
you
if
so,
if
so.
they the, in work instance and hub they have the same values, or if you for instance I don't know to import an instance and the statement of responsibility, the main title and the ISBN and LCCN are the same, it updates the existing resource
Okay, so
with the
using
new
this
values.
heuristics on the field values, and you're explicitly not looking at the URIs or on same as
No.
or these ESCO statements or whatever vocabulary that exists
Yeah,
to identify identical URIs.
we took this approach because we are thinking about everyone is starting, so most of them won't have a URI possibly. A lot of them are taken, to be honest, taking information from the Library of Congress and using that. So we might add authority validation, so then we can have the URI validation too. I agree, it can be a good feature, but so far we
Okay.
are taking the values.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
All right, I think Jennifer's up next.
Thanks for the presentation, Alvaro. And I just wanted to see if I understood with these overlap management rules. So it basically you won't have any duplicates, right? So this is to avoid duplicates.
Yes, but if you are working with a hybrid system with MARC and linked data, there's possibilities that duplicates appear. If
Because
especially if you haven't like dumped your catalog to linked data,
so
because
I
you.
have a question with that, because like for some shops, let's say the five colleges, let's say we go to linked data right away, we are going to have duplicate records. So like this would not work for us at all, because we would need to like set it up so that we could create, maybe a record for Mount Holyoke versus a record for UMass. I mean, it could be, potentially, they need to be on different records because I don't know, maybe it's a gift thing or something like that. Maybe one is special collections. All of our special collections are on their unique records. So I'm wondering if that's something you've taken into account. And then also, my other question is, have you presented this to the linked data group? And I was wondering if you could share kind of their feedback.
Well, we presented the features that it could do when we were like starting this, to have some feedback, and the feedback wasn't that, it was kind of broad, the sense that it was needed, that it was a good feature, but no more than that. And then I committed to present this again with them when it was like ready. So I just have a general feedback about this from the interest group.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you got feedback, like, because this is a system, only the systems person can do this. Because generally, I know a lot of working groups, they try to ensure that the users can do that. And I think Jeremy brought up, like, even with data import, I mean, we can, I don't know what the threshold is, but like, we can easily put in 500,000. I do that. So, and that's through the UI though, and we can kind of tailor how we're doing that import. I was just wondering if this was something of interest with the linked data group, because it seems it's very locked down right now.
It can be changed, but because you need only to add a UI option, and then the permissions are already designed, so it wouldn't be a big effort to add it. So yeah, we can do that. Totally.
All right. We've got a couple questions. We've also got some good questions in the chat. So let's see. I will take the next three people who have their hands up, and then I want to pivot to make sure that we cover everything that's been asked in the chat. So, Todd?
Just this is intended to be a quick question. So we have the workflow where the link data comes in, it goes into the graph, it goes to inventory, inventory sends it to SRS. Just curious if there's a site that has moved away from MARC and doesn't need SRS. Can that last step, can the step of inventory to SRS be turned off?
I mean, we are doing this because we have to coexist with Mark, but yeah,
Okay,
absolutely.
thanks.
Jeremy?
You mind if I, before I get to my question, address some of the questions that were in the chat?
Oh yeah.
One of them from
Okay.
Thomas is wondering if the fingerprint fields are configurable. Could you use something like HRID?
Sorry, Dean. Yeah, I mean, if it's included within the instance, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And then another one from Brooks is seems to be some confusion among some of us as to whether or not the purpose of this module is for an institution to load their own instances, or is it for external entities to enter? Is it like an edge module, or is it dedicated for internal organizational use?
It's for internal organization use.
Okay. So my question is, it's a little bit of question for you, Alvaro, but it's also kind of more broadly to the PC. I guess I'd like to know specifically the kind of difficulties that you guys felt were involved with integrating this functionality into the existing data import. And then more broadly for the PC, I guess I am having some misgivings, and I want to be real specific, not about your specific implementation, because like I said, I mean, this is important functionality that I think is good to have in Folio. But more broadly speaking, from a product perspective, we're seeing the proliferation of data import solutions, right? We have our data import module. We just saw the import update. Now we have this linked data, all being presented as three separate solutions to what is essentially the same task, but with just kind of different spins. I know at Texas A&M, we have two different custom data import solutions that we use workflows for to get data in addition to these things. So I guess I'm just thinking from a product perspective, are we missing something that we're not able to present a cohesive data import solution to our users? Why is it that we are having to build these isolated solutions? And is that going to be confusing for somebody who's wanting to adopt Folio? Down to the idea that maybe if the backend solutions need to be different, that's fine, but we figure out how to present them with a unified user interface. So that at least from a user's perspective, they're going to one place in Folio in order to achieve these things. Anyway.
That's a really good question, Jeremy, and I think it goes to our next topic, which is we need to be having those conversations with people before the development starts so that we can make those suggestions, and maybe even convene some conversations about like what is the long-term vision for data import and how do all of these things phase out or work towards a common goal? Because there's not a lot of incentive to do that right now. Charlotte.
So maybe I can answer a little your questions, Jeremy. So these suggestions are kind of, they have some differences. Data import is always the storing in MARC SIS. This new module is also storing in MARC SIS, but the module we saw last week is not storing in MARC SIS. As I heard the introduction, then Alvaro explained that currently is the data import not format agnostic. And Alvaro is importing RDF records and data import the old data import can only handle MARC. So there is some very distinct differences in this, and it will, if to refactor the current data import to be able to where you can set a flag. I don't want to store a MARC record. I don't want. I need to be able to use this tool for data migration as well, and I need to be able to have a. It has to be format agnostic. That will probably be, 5 to 10 years from here, and that's something we cannot wait for. But it might be something we should, work towards. But it is, somewhere in the distant future.
Yeah, I was going to say it's 5 to 10 years from now or never if we don't start talking about it.
All right, Jennifer.
I just wanted to take a step back. The initial roadmap of data import included, all of these other ways of getting data in. And, I just would like to say that we've had a lot of problems with data import. We have a development team that is not full time, and we are working out of the first phase with Mark. We're working out bugs that have dated back, several years because they were developed as thin thread. So I think, data import has really gotten the short end of the stick here. And so people, I'm all for these other apps and it's great, but it's also it's saying, well, data import's just smart. And it's like that was just the first phase, and it's I kind of feel that we're in a space of continuing to ignore, data import and not providing the support it really needs, because we are just dealing with bugs still. Our logs are wonky, we still can't, like, features in what is available don't work consistently. So we are not even at a point of MVP, I feel. And that has to be recognized here. And so what support are we going to offer data import? And I really haven't heard an answer that is clear or really, makes sense.
Thank you, Jennifer. Kristen?
Yeah, I just kind of thinking about this, it feels and like we're sorry, my camera just doesn't seem to want to recognize me. It feels like we're going in a different direction without maybe talking about how we're going in a different direction here. And I think that's where some of these things that I'm thinking about, when I think about the vision for Folio initially, SRS was supposed to be this area where you could have multiple different data formats. Maybe that's not what we're doing now. Or maybe there's some data formats are so different that they really, SRS cannot accommodate them. And so we're going to have multiple, essentially, different types of SRSs, right? Because SRS just says source record storage. It doesn't say MARC storage. But if it really is MARC storage, then maybe we need to start talking about things differently too. Or if we're saying like data import is just going to, like, we're not going to develop data import further. Like, I don't know if that's what we're saying here or not, but we are coming up with other ways to do things because data import was not doing things that we wanted it to. And then do we end up having sort of like, are we creating a new umbrella that's like, these are the different ways you can get data into Folio? If you want to do MARC, you go like this. If you want to do, connect to a central union catalog, you do like that. If you've got your linked data, you do like this. So I think mapping some of that out, and I don't want to say like this is the wrong direction necessarily, but it does feel like a change from the original vision of Folio. And so I don't want to make light of that either.
All right, Christy?
I just want to second everything that's been said. I do think that, the vision of data import is not really our reality. And I agree that we should actually have a vision that we can support and that we can point to and people can rely on and that can deliver. Otherwise they're not going to use it. But I also want to make sure that we're not like impeding progress because I do think that standalone tools right now are the only way that we can make progress in the near term. So having the larger conversation is something that I think that we need to have, but I think it's a separate conversation.
All right, that's a good point, Todd, and then Jeremy, and then I think we need to take a break to try to like summarize what we have learned today and what feedback we want to give to these folks. Todd?
Yeah, I would agree with what what's been said. The one of the things about a claim or desire for being format agnostic means that somehow the system has to be fluent in every format that you want to take in and fluent in every format that you want to put out. And while we've talked about how that could happen, like wanting to have that happen, as Christy said, as Christy sort of pointed out, we haven't had a conversation about what that would really look like. It sounds great until you start teasing apart the details. And I don't think, that conversation's overdue. What do we really mean? What does that really look like?
All
right, Jeremy.
I just want to attempt to be encouraging to Alvaro and just say I really do think that the conversation that we're having is an important one, but the scope is so much larger than the thing that you've built. I think that you just happen to be presenting in an area where other work has been done in other but by other people. Which, from our perspective in the PC, is making I think us ask the question: do we have a problem? Do we have a data import problem? I think the answer is probably yes, in general, and that fixing or addressing some part of that problem was what was behind the motivation for you guys to build what you built. So I don't want you to feel like things like what you have built are just kind of exposing maybe the need for a larger conversation to happen.
All right, I think we've clearly identified the need for a larger conversation. Charlotte, and then let's pause and wrap this one up.
Yeah, and I just want to I second what you say, Jeremy. We are just, thinking a bit broader here. But I will also say that refactoring the existing data import to do all of the things we kind of would like to might be, the solutions in Folio is not one size fits all. So I think it is probably more realistic to have these different apps all, within the frame of the community. So everyone who wants to reuse these modules can do it. But we are acknowledging that there is some very different workflows. And Folio is supposed to support that. It's not a US centric solution we're building. It's not a European centric solution we're building. It's not an Asian centric. We are building, for an international use.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Some big themes here, and I think some are for us to take up that are out of scope for Alvaro and his team. But clearly, we need to talk more about the long-term vision of the data import ecosystem, how these things fit together and how they grow together. I think we're recognizing that there is kind of a natural evolution happening here. that might need at the very least like some guardrails put around it in terms of what the long-term expectations are. I heard you say that you would like to see URIs, you would like to see long-term a GUI for this. Was there any other feedback, specific feedback? Oh, also concern about duplicate detection, I think. Is there any other specific notes we have for Alvaro's team? We can continue to discuss after. I just want to make sure I'm parsing like the larger conversation from what we want to tell Alvaro. It sounds like it's mostly the larger conversation.
Yeah, and I think it was very valuable observations. And also personally, I like the idea of having the UI and paired with permissions. I really like that.
Cool.
Yeah. I think we will be doing that.
All right.
Like, we will.
And so you will hear from us. We'll do a vote separately offline and get back to you about our endorsement. And we want to thank you for coming today. This was a bigger conversation than maybe you anticipated, but I think everyone's grateful to just for the insight and to learn about what you're doing. It is 10:50 Eastern time. And I think we probably don't have enough time to cover our last topic in great detail. I'd like to give you a really high level summary of a conversation that we had on Tuesday about the endorsement process. And Alvaro, Gloria, you're welcome to stay if you want to hear about our, some tweaks we need to make to the endorsement process, but you can also leave if you would like to. Let's see, let me share my screen. And we will have to take this conversation definitely to another meeting. Sorry, I should have been more ready to pull up my screen, but I was very engrossed in the conversation. Okay. So from a high level, something that we've been talking about is we have this great new evaluation process for new functionality that is almost exactly a year old. We haven't done a ton of endorsements this year just because not that many people have asked. I think that the parts that we have in place are working really well, but there's a piece that's missing. Specifically, if you go down to the bottom of this page, Jennifer made this wonderful graphic that shows that we encourage people to engage prior to beginning development, right? Like we want to push these conversations upstream so that if we do have feedback, we have a chance, the POs have an opportunity to do something with it before the development starts. The question in my mind, after doing this for a year, is what the correct mechanism for this is. Right now, POs are self-nominating to come to the PC and get their endorsements. I think that there is an opportunity for us to be more proactive and engage POs earlier in this process to make sure that we're having the conversations when we'd like to be having them. I think that there might also be benefits to transparency here too. So when we talked about this earlier this week, two things came up. One is that I had made the assumption that we needed to link up more closely with the TC process. And I think the conclusion that we came to is that TC is doing a lot of interesting things with the evaluation right now, and we are linked to two of their documents in the agenda today. However, their evaluation process comes later in development than we would like to. I also heard the feedback that TC is focused on modules, and we want to be talking about things at more of like the app level. So that leaves us with, okay, how are we engaging people to have these conversations? Charlotte had the suggestion that we should be monitoring the scope of upcoming releases and proactively just like asking POs for more information when things are added to the scope of an upcoming release. So that seems like a pretty good suggestion to me. I think we should talk about it more. And there are intersections here with everything that the release management group is doing. I think there's a question about like, what does this look like? Are we like once a month pulling up, create a special filter to see what's been added to the next two releases and then talking about it and deciding who we want to bring in? Like maybe it's a standing agenda item. Maybe it's something where we've got a subgroup that's doing. I don't know. I think there's more to be done there, and we're not going to get to a conclusion today. Before we wrap up the meeting, just since we're bringing it up today, is there anything else about this idea of monitoring upcoming release scopes and proactively engaging POs about upcoming functionality that you want to talk about, Jeremy?
Just a quick question and a quick thought about TC involvement in early on in the process, and that is my question is the RFC process still alive over in TC land? Todd, you looked like it was, and now you look unsure. You're muted.
Yeah, I had a swap of acronym in my head. I don't really think the RFC process is alive.
Okay.
Maybe Harry has
The
different experience.
reason I bring it up is the TC had a mechanism in place, at least for for a while, that enabled them to give kind of technical feedback on things really at any time. But it was the sort of mechanism that would have been very good to employ if you were thinking about implementing something and had some you wanted some technical feedback from the community. I do think that there is a space for that around the time that we're hoping to get involved. I don't know, not everything that we evaluate is going to require that technical input, but I think some of it might, and it does seem like it would be good to have some sort of way of inviting the TC into the conversation if there are specific technical questions that need to be addressed.
Thank you, Harry. Harry, did you
Sorry,
leave?
just found mute. I guess so. There's a whole series of discussions that go on at the SIG level, and oftentimes not just months or release, sometimes possibly years in advance. And there are discussions for approval that go on at the PC level. There are discussions that also go on at the TC level, which oftentimes, have to repeat multiple times. And then there's, I guess, yet another one, I guess, that's sort of being planned here. And I guess my question is, I mean, it feels like these could be consolidated in some way, shape, or form, because frankly, it's a lot of time. It's a lot of time from, development teams that and product managers that could be put to good use.
Absolutely. Harry, we're not adding a new process. We're trying to move what we're doing farther up.
Okay.
Okay. And potentially, I would hope lowering the kind of cognitive load for POs because we would be specifically like engaging them and saying, hey, we have a question about this. Can we talk about it? There was another hand. Are all the questions resolved?
You said what I was going to say.
Okay, great. Okay, let's so we'll Jeremy and I will look at the topic calendar and pencil this in for a future meeting. We'll take it from there. All right. Thank you so much, Alvaro and Gloria, and everyone who contributed to the presentation today. I'll be in touch via email within the next week.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks,
Bye,
everyone.
folks.
Bye.
Bye.